heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Hey, welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again at the tail end of this first week and beginning of the second week in Ordinary Time. Yep, we're back into Ordinary Time. How does that feel? Got a post-holiday letdown thing going on? I can see that, but still, there's something about returning to a normal routine that's comforting, isn't there? The Lord knows what he is about, and I'm convinced he's helped us, the faithful, weave his wisdom into the liturgical calendar as well. On this side of eternity, not every day is meant to be saturated with the longing and anticipation of Advent, or the penitence and detachment of Lent. Equally, not every day is meant to be overcome with the celebration and feasting of Christmas and Easter. And while those seasons have so very much to offer us as practicing Catholics, in focusing on the Lord Jesus and deepening our faith, I find that ordinary time, walking not in the dark valley nor on the mountaintop, liturgically speaking, but on the plain, has a unique focus on our partnership with the Lord in the fulfillment of his mission. And our readings for this second Sunday reflect that. Isaiah reminds us of the goal and the promise of the Lord, and St. Paul, from his first letter to the Corinthians, focuses in on how the Lord has equipped us for our roles through his distribution of gifts. And for our gospel, we have the wedding at Cana from John chapter 2. So much to be drawn from it, but notice right at the end, after Jesus has changed the water into wine, St. John comments, "Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him." In changing water into wine, Jesus reveals his glory, which of course he does ultimately, definitively, and most profoundly on the cross. But in this precursor of a miracle, his disciples only began to believe in him. How slow of heart they were. And yet, can we blame them? Are we any different? Yeah, I know. We live in an age in which it is fashionable to exercise scrutiny and doubt and suspicion. And I'm pretty convinced that even observing such a miracle with our own eyes, we could find, and honestly often have found, a way of explaining it away. My question, though, is this. How does Jesus reveal his glory today? How do others, from the person next to you in Mass to the person next to you in line at the grocery store, how do they observe the working of the Lord? I think St. Paul tells us, through us. Through Jesus working out the glory of his cross in us. As we learn to offer more and more faithfully our invitation to the Lord to work his glory in our lives, he will do so. Not just so that we can be sanctified, but also so that others may encounter him and respond in faith. As we are urged at the end of every Mass, go in peace. Well, whose peace? Christ's peace. Or go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Or go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Through word and deed, we proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations. We, you and I, nourished by his body and blood, empowered by the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, are sharers in Christ's mission, bringing his good news, his proclamation of the kingdom of God, bringing his love, his grace, his mercy, his peace, bringing his sacrifice, bringing his resurrection, nothing short of bringing him himself to the entire world. Another great show in store for us today. First up, it's our first interview of the year with our Archdiocesan Chief Shepherd, Archbishop Hebda. We'll take with him, we'll take a look back at 2021 and a look ahead at what's to come this year. Next, with the dark and cold of winter and some post-holiday doldrums, not to mention the Omicron variant, there are plenty of good reasons to do a mental health check. But how do we do self-care from a Catholic perspective? Joseph Lunston of Novari Catholic Counseling is with us with some thoughts. And finally, what do you get when you take a college-age student who is a committed Catholic, add in a missionary spirit, a love of sharing the faith, and top it off with no set summer plans? You get a perfect candidate for Totus Tuus, our Archdiocesan Summer Missionary Program for those of college age. Nancy Schulte-Palachek is with us to tell us more. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, it's a new year, and as many media outlets tend to do, at the beginning of a new year, we often like to look back at an old year. And since this is our first monthly Archbishop segment of 2022, of the new year, I thought it would be appropriate to sit down with the Archbishop and think a little bit about what God has provided in the past year. So as we are grateful for his provision for us as an archdiocese, we are also grateful for the provision of our Archbishop. Archbishop Hebda, great to be with you again. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Patrick. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
It is amazing. It's amazing that we're already in a new year. I'm still having a hard time remembering to sign 2022.
Right. Yep. I remember writing the first check, and it's always a bit of an adjustment, but here we are. We're in a new year. So, Archbishop, just an open-ended question from me. As you look back on the year that God has provided for us here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis in 2021, many people said that 2021, there was a poll out too that said it was the worst year of their lives so far, but I don't think that's what we're thinking about here in the Archdiocese. What strikes you as memorable events that happened in the Archdiocese in 2021?
Well, you're right there, Patrick. Even though it was a very challenging year, I mean, I certainly see the Lord's blessings bestowed on us in abundance in 2021. First of all, I think about the ongoing involvement with our Archdiocesan Synod and that mammoth effort that took place this fall with the Synod small groups. And I continue to receive not only the formal input from those that was gathered in those settings, but also lots of people writing emails or letters about their experiences with that as well. And one of the things that it really made clear to me is that one is that we have a faithful who so much want to be involved in the church in a deeper way. And so they were grateful for that opportunity to come together and to discuss. And I think it could be the difficulties of COVID too. So for many of our people to have that chance, if they haven't been coming to church events, to have the opportunity to come together in a meaningful way where they were able to discuss their dreams for the church and how it is that we can move forward, I think that was very positive for nearly everyone. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we receive a few criticisms along the way for what was included or what wasn't included, or whether subliminal messages or what were the choices that we had made. But overall, there was just such, when I just consider the number of people who participated, and I look at, in these days, I've been going over, everybody was asked to provide their best idea on each of the topics, right? And so as I've just been going through those things, I realize how the Lord has really blessed our local church in that, through that process, and that people had that opportunity to engage with each other, but also with their Archbishop, on those things that were obviously so important to them. So for me, that was a great blessing in 2021. I also had the opportunity to be in one of our Catholic schools this week, and it reminded me of the real blessings that we received in our Catholic schools in 2021. Hmm. So we weren't able to do some of the large events that would have naturally been planned. You know, we've gone before to you know, to the U.S. Bank Stadium, and this year it was going to be to the XL Center, bringing together all of our Catholic school kids. We weren't able to do that. But when I consider the growth that we've seen over the last 2 years, but especially in the midst of the challenges of COVID, and how it is that our teachers have managed to persevere and keeping our students safe, but providing them a Christ-centered education in a way that is appealing not only to the students, but also to their parents and families. In my mind, that's been a great blessing as well. The school that I visited this week was St. Jerome's in Maplewood. And I was in the third grade classroom in particular. And you look around that class, and I would say probably two-thirds of the kids come from refugee families, maybe even a little bit more than that. And how it is that our Catholic school is able to provide a safe environment that helps these students to learn. Their parents might not speak English so well, but these kids are just really growing. And St. Jerome's is a classical school, classical curriculum. And so the third grade classroom was camouflaged to look like a castle. So those kids were having that experience and learning all about what life was like in the Middle Ages. But these are third graders. And so I know they're getting a superb academic preparation, but they're also really coming to appreciate Christ and to recognize how it is that Christ is at the center of our lives and brings to us so many good things. And so when I look at 2021 and I see the way that our schools not only survived, but in fact thrived, I see that is a great blessing too. And then a third area, which is maybe not as widely known, was a change that's taken place in seminary formation. And not surprisingly, in our Synod small group discussions, there were a lot of people that had questions about how we prepare men to be priests. And we have to find ways of giving people more contact with our seminarians and with our seminaries too. I know that people, when they come to the seminaries, whether it be St. John Vianney or the St. Paul Seminary, they always find that those experiences are so encouraging and uplifting and hopeful. But we do want to make sure that those men are really being prepared to have the deep spiritual foundation that they need to be able to withstand some of the storms, whether it be COVID or something else that our pastors have to live with. And so we need to have men that are extraordinarily rooted in Christ and in the gospel. And this year we had the opportunity to start our propedeutic year at the St. Paul Seminary. And it's a year we have 16 men from different dioceses who have come together in a preparatory year. So this is what's new to our system. And they're not taking formal university classes as would normally be the case with a college seminarian or a pre-theologian or somebody in theology. But rather, they're really working on human formation. They're working on really coming to know the church better. So they're taking a deep dive into the catechism, into the liturgy for sure, into scripture, and then really trying to grow in the spiritual life. So they have a whole year that's devoted to that, and it's amazingly challenging, but it seems to be really fruitful. I had a chance to go out with the men from the Archdiocese who were in the program, and it was a Sunday. And I was asking them about how the Vikings were doing. And they said, Archbishop, how would we know? You know, during this propedeutic year, they don't have regular contact you know, they're not using the internet. They're not using their cell phones in that way. So I did look at my phone and was able to share with them how the Vikings were doing. But it's just been such a blessed time for those men. And I can see the benefit that it will have long term in the church, as we have men that are deeply rooted in Jesus and come to know Jesus in their everyday lives. So in my mind, they would be three real blessings from 2021.
Yeah, very good. And it's always good to keep in mind, especially amidst challenging times, the many ways that God has been good for us. So thank you for those three reminders of great ways that the Lord continues to provide here in our local church. All right, so it is 2022 now, and the calendar has flipped over, and we are, as some would put it, on our next trip around the sun here. And just wondering, from your perspective, some of the things that you're looking forward to here in this new year, the year of 2022.
Great. Patrick, it's brave of somebody in Minnesota or Wisconsin to even talk about the sun in January.
I suppose you're right about that, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's another story. But I'm certainly really, what's very proximate for us these days is the ordination of Bishop-elect Williams on the 25th of January, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. I think for us as a diocese, that feast is very important for us. And to have a new auxiliary bishop beginning his ministry at that time, and in that context, will be energizing for us. And as I've been watching Bishop-elect Williams since he's been named, and certainly I knew him well even before the Holy Father had called him to this new ministry, but I've been really impressed with his pastoral heart. He's been really blessed with a great gift of being able to minister in Spanish and in with a deep appreciation of the many cultures that are shared by our Latinos here in the Archdiocese. But by no means is Bishop Williams' heart limited to the Latinos, but it's just, he just has such compassion, and he's creative. I love the work that he's done at St. Stephen's and at Holy Rosary. Nothing seems to really be an obstacle for him in bringing people to come to know Jesus. You know, I've long admired St. Stephen's Parish for the evangelistic outreach that they have. And Father Williams is very much at the heart of that, where they have teams of people going out door to door. And we see that that's brought such great growth to that parish. When I think about how, by the Holy Father's choice, that our archdiocese has a new, you know, there might be a new effort, especially as we continue with our synod that's looking at, certainly at some of those questions, for that kind of evangelistic outreach, that's pretty exciting for me, you know? So that's certainly something that's right there at the forefront. And then when we just consider about the synod, you know, we're going to have to pivot a little bit with our synod process because of COVID. We don't want to bring large groups of people together at the moment. But we're still going to be doing additional consultation at the parish levels at a date either beginning of end of February or beginning of March, depending on the parish's choice, where people have an opportunity to really consider a draft of some of the propositions that will be given to those who participate in the synod, which will be at Pentecost, so at the beginning of June. So all of a sudden, you know, this has seemed like such a long process. But when I realized that these next steps are all within this calendar year, I realized that it's going to be an important year for us in setting direction for the next 3 to 5 years for sure. And we do that in the midst of all the other good things that are going on in the church, as you know, we continue to see the way in which people respond, love of God and love of neighbor. I'm even in these very cold times, I'm inspired by the number of our faithful who are volunteers for Catholic Charities or other organizations that make sure that those who are on the peripheries are taken care of. But it just seems to me like there's so many good things that are going on not only at the beginning of 2022, but throughout the new year.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, many things to look forward to, I'm sure. Some of them as yet undisclosed, because the Lord doesn't always give us the long view on some of these things,
right?
Yeah. Well, we're just nearing up against the end of our time here, Archbishop, yet again, but I am grateful for the things to look forward to, the things that we can look back on and be grateful for, and the things to look forward to as well that you've shared with us. We're grateful for your leadership, of course, of the Archdiocese as well. And as we enter into this new year, I can assure you of our prayers, and we'll be counting on yours as well. And with that in mind, wondering if you can close us with your blessing as always, please.
I would be happy to, Patrick. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and upon your listeners, not only this day, but throughout the new year. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Archbishop. Always good to be with you.
Nice to be with you too, Patrick.
All right. Always good to hear from the Archbishop. Well, coming up, you've heard the saying, new year, new me, right? Well, if you vowed to take better care, especially of your mental health in the new year, you'll want to stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. As we're in the midst of this first month of 2022, we're looking at how the new year is a time for our own personal renewal and restoration. How might we practice self-care from a Catholic perspective? How do we keep Christ at the center of self-care practices and lean on Him in times when our mental health may be struggling? Joseph Lunston of Novare Catholic Counseling joins us today to explore this topic and offer some practical tips. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us. So yeah. I want to start, I don't know that people need any kind of reminding of this, but what are some of the factors and influences in our time right here, right now, in January of 2022, that are influencing and perhaps threatening our mental health?
Yeah, that's a big question. There's a lot going on, I think. I think the biggest thing for us is I think would be technology screen time, right? I mean, it's a constant in all of our lives, and just the uncertainties of life. But I also think, I think especially in the country we live in, we have a lot of choices, which are good. But I think choices can ultimately bog us down. So I think as that pertains to what we choose, how to take care of ourselves, I think it matters. So, I mean, there's a lot. The list could go on.
Yeah, and I just presume that although we all thought that the pandemic was coming to an end, now we've seen the rise of the Omicron variant, and that really some of those same challenges from the pandemic are persisting as well, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. Well, shifting then to how we take care of ourselves, I mean, interpretations of mental health and self-care can range between many things. You know, it can go from bubble baths to spending time in prayer, but I guess, first off, as Catholics, where's the balance between ends of the spectrum? Is there a spectrum?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I would say not to have to feel like we have to neglect any part of us. You know, I mean, we have separate parts that make up our being, and it's important to take account of those things and to take care of those things. So I don't think it has to be necessarily a battle, but I think it's always good to just do a general assessment. I like to think of the analogy of like, you know, we all get that report on our phone of like screen time usage and like how what percentage we're using what apps. So I think like if we apply that to our lives, right, in our self-care, I think it can be a useful framework to say, okay, like, is 90% of my self-care bubble bath? And then, you know, if that was the case, you might want to adjust a little bit. I think everything should serve our spiritual life, right? So I think bubble baths can be a part of that, right? And we, you know, you think of Thomas Aquinas would have something to say on that. But so I don't think it has to be a battle necessarily as much as just doing a general assessment of, okay, where am I allotting my time to take care of myself and how is that maybe ultimately working towards my spiritual life?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you for that. Now, I'm just curious too about the different aspects. You said making sure that we're not neglecting any specific part of ourselves. Well, of course, our Catholic faith would teach us that we are soul and body, so we do need to look after the soul. We need to look after the body. So, hence, you know, prayer and bubble baths could be both a good thing. But what about other factors? Things like the intellect. I mean, you know, you probably want to exercise the mind as well. You want to, you probably want to exercise relationship as well. Yeah. Any other thoughts along those lines?
No. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I think we need relationships, especially with the aftermath of everything going on with COVID, right? I think the world understood that in a big way. And so I think prioritizing our social reality is necessary. I mean, you know, even in our relationship with God, right? I think as beings, we don't exist outside of relationship, right? Whether that is with God or with others. And so I think you're spot on there. And I think, just like you said, the intellect as well, right? We have that creative need and that desire to learn and grow. And I think that needs to be taken care of just as much as, say, our body and doing bubble baths.
Right, right. Well, I think that we can also feel, we can be tempted to feel anyway, that really the responsibility for our mental health lies solely with us. But again, clearly as Catholics and people who are, at least in word and in theory, are relying on the Lord for everything. I mean, a lot of it relies on Him as well, too, right? So how do we break out of this mold of thinking, well, it just all relies on us? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think maybe just to simplify it as best I could, because that's such a big question. It's a great question. I would say just make space. I think we fill our lives with so much, and sometimes we just don't leave enough room, if that makes sense. And so obviously God ordains all things. He's with us and all, but the more we can sort of unplug from everything else in our lives, and I'm not saying don't think about those things and take care of things in our life, but the more we can unplug, I think, and make space for Christ to be present in whatever that looks like in our lives, I think the more room we have for Him to be a part of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right there. So what about to kind of steer towards the more practical. What can we look for in terms of warning signs that are some aspect of our being or some aspect of our mental health may not be going so well, whether it be, again, the spiritual, the physical, the intellectual, the relational? What are things that might crop up in our lives to start being warning signs that we need to take a closer look at this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, start with maybe the basics, you know, like eat your diet and your sleep regimen, you know, like when those two things are off, it's a good indication that everything else might start becoming off. But like you said too, I think taking note and being really mindful about your relationships, because there are a lot of stress in your relationships. Do you feel connected to the people in your life? And I would say the same, do an assessment of yourself. Really just try to take care and take note of, like, how am I? Am I feeling like there's a higher level of anxiety in myself or maybe depression than I'm normally feeling? And why would that be? And again, I think just taking the time to really do an assessment on yourself and be mindful. You know, that bit word mindfulness is getting thrown around a lot. But I think it's good, and I think it's a useful tool that we can have to sort of bring that presence into our life.
Mm-hmm. And what if we start recognizing some of these signs in, say, another, like a friend or a loved one, a family member, and we see that, yeah, they seem to be off. They seem to be exhibiting more signs of anxiety or depression or something that's not quite who they usually are. Any suggestions on how we might broach the topic with them?
Yeah, I would say just you know, be brave enough to have the conversation. I would say seek that conversation with love, right? Because you might not know what's going on at all. And so just try to go in to learn, right, and to really take care rather than to fix. I think we want to, you know, we want to get into that fix-it mindset, especially when it's with people that we love.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes I think that disrupts the connection, right? And if we can just connect, right, and do it and learn about what maybe someone we're close to is struggling with, I think then we can figure out what we need to do next. But I think just how you approach that conversation is super important. But as long as it's done with openness and love, I think it's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not that our listeners need reminding of this, but it might be worth mentioning, too, that this isn't, as you were saying, have the courage to have that. One of the things, have those conversations, one of the things that can really propel us in that is recognizing that, yeah, poor mental health, especially if left unchecked, can lead to some pretty dark places, right?
Yeah,
you want to give some examples of where it can lead?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all see that in our lives. I mean, I think one that we see in the mental health realm is suicide, right? I mean, to a level of despair that reaches that. I think it can lead to addictions of many kinds, right? I think it can lead to sort of the deterioration of the spiritual life. I mean, those are three really big ones, but it could lead to a deterioration of family life, right? So those would probably be the biggest ones that come to mind. But I think oftentimes it can happen in smaller parts in many different areas of our life, and then it sort of compounds as well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the consequences can fall in many different areas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing that I know that many of us are tempted to do when things start getting rough or stressful or anxiety-producing or depression-producing, that one of the knee-jerk reactions that a lot of us can have is to turn to our work. Let's talk about work for a minute. You know,
we turn to our
employment, those things that we're meant to be about. And I was just talking at the top of the show about our role as carrying Christ to the world, that there is work that Jesus has us to do as well. And we can even become so obsessed with that we start leaving other things out, things like, as we already talked about, relationship, but also things like recreation and play and things like that. So I guess any suggestions you would have on how to avoid things like becoming a workaholic and focusing so much on work that we neglect the other parts of life?
Yeah, no, I think it's a big question. It's a tough question. You know, obviously we weren't made for work, you know, and so I think in America we have a work first mindset that can be a little destructive at times. But I think it's all about, again, I think back to what I said about making space, right? Like, I think if you can focus your time enough at work where you can get it done without distractions, right? And there's so many different distractions. I think it allows you to truly make space enough to have room for your free time. And maybe this is taking a different direction, but I think technology, especially in work, has allowed us to kind of put things off in a way where we're almost forced to bring work home because there's so much of it all the time. And so I think what you can do is just set really good boundaries for yourself, right? I think that's a big word that we hear a lot about. Boundaries at work so you can get work done, and then boundaries when you're off of work, so work doesn't creep in, right? And I think maybe like a first easy step is just take your work email off your phone. Because it's just so easy, right, to just take 5 to 10 minutes, and then it turns into an hour, and then you've been checking your work email for an hour.
That never happens. What are you talking about? Yeah,
it shouldn't, right? Like nobody hears that and says that they want that in their life, but it can just creep in so easily.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, so in the midst of all this, we're talking about self-care and things that we can do to help maintain good mental health, good practice, good self-care, that sort of thing. In the midst of everything that's threatening right now, but yes, it does reach a level sometimes when you need some professional help as well. I mean, you work for Navarre Counseling Center, and that there you see people, you talk with people who are facing some of these things. What can be a good thought as to when it might be the right time to bring somebody else, somebody who's educated, skilled, experienced in dealing with these problems? When do we bring them into play? When do we seek out professional help?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think that can be a different time for different people depending on their station in life and where they're at. But I think whenever is always a good time, whether you find yourself like just starting to realize you're struggling, whether you're in a deep pit of despair. I think seeking help from someone who's there to connect with you, to care for you, to work through things with you can be helpful at any stage in your life. It could be helpful if you're not going through any struggles, right? Like just to have some connection, to have someone to work through some things. So I think, and maybe that's an unhelpful question, but I think anytime you feel like it's the right time, it's the right time. Because I think it can be helpful at any stage in your life.
Mm-hmm. I know my doctor recommends that I come in every year for an annual physical checkup. Is there anything like that in the mental world? Should we be going in for a mental checkup sometime?
I wouldn't say there's anything quite like that. I mean, there are mental health assessments you can certainly take and do testing. I think we probably should implement some sort of, hey, just do a check-in, just see where you're at. Unfortunately, I don't think anything like that really exists that seems reasonable right now. But I would say as far as like just going in for a checkup, I would say like probably testing of some sort might be your option. But even like you could set up an appointment with a counselor and do a check-in. And I think it could easily work where you would find that, oh, things are looking good. Maybe I don't need to continue, but you would always have that option to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that seems to make sense to me. It seems to be reasonable. And I guess with that, as we are nearing the end of our time together here, Joseph, do you want to tell us how we can get in touch with Navarre Counseling Center?
Yeah, I would say maybe the best way to reach us is probably going to our website. And that is NavarreCounseling.com. Has all our information on there. It's a really easy way to kind of look into each counselor, to look into the services we have. It's a very easy to use website. So I would point people there, because our numbers are all on there. I believe our emails are on there to contact us as well. So I would say that's a place to start. Otherwise, you know, you could always do a Google search and get our phone number, and give us a call, and that would be an easy way to reach us as well.
All right. Well, sounds good. Joseph Lunston from Navarre Counseling Center. So glad that you could join us today. Good mental health in this year to come, and thanks for being on Practicing Catholic.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Take care. That website, again, for anyone interesting, is NavarreCounseling.com. That's N-O-V-A-R-E, counseling.com. All right. Time for another break. But when we come back, we'll learn about an exciting summer leadership opportunity for the young men and women of our archdiocese. So stay with us.
The biggest thing is to proclaim the liberating message to young people. Your life isn't about you. Relevant Radio contributor, Monsignor James Shea.
Your life is not about you, young people. It's your life, yes it is, but it's not about you. And unless you find a way to give your whole self away in love, unless you understand that your talents, those talents are more needed by others than by you, unless you understand that your life is meant to be about some great, heroic, and phenomenal service that you can pour yourself into, unless you realize your life is not about you, you'll never be happy. You'll never find meaning, purpose, or satisfaction in a deep way in your life. And when students hear that message, it's a deeply liberating thing for them to understand that they don't have to figure it out all on their own. What they need to focus on is, how can I give myself away? It's not about you.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Totus Tuus, or Totally Yours, is the name of our Archdiocesan Summer Missionary Program. Their pillars include the Eucharist, Marian devotion, catechetical instruction, vocational discernment, and, of course, fun. Sound like a good time? Well, Nancy Schulte-Palachek of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life joins us to share about how any college-age student can join in on the action. Nancy, welcome back to the program.
Well, hi. Thank you, Patrick, for having me on today.
Absolutely. All right, Totus Tuus. Let's start just by, just give us an idea of what is actually going on with Totus Tuus. What is it?
Well, Totus Tuus was a motto of St. John Paul II, his motto, actually, but it was taken from the True Devotion, Louis de Montfort's book. Just giving ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary is what the motto stands for. And we do this repeatedly, and our missionaries, our teachers that serve for us during the summertime, these college-age men and women, really do offer their whole self to Jesus throughout the summer with their time, their energy, their personality, their fun, their love, and all of it. So it's a great, great program for them. Okay. Men and women's, yeah, go ahead.
It is that time of year when, I think all of our thoughts are turning to summer, but maybe especially college students or college age students are thinking about, okay, what am I going to do this summer? And as that happens, what would you say? I mean, what could they encounter? What could they be doing this summer as a Totus Tuus missionary?
Yeah, great question. The men and women that serve are young adults. Their longing for holiness and deep desire for daily conversions and an openness to the vocation by the constant challenge to give themselves entirely to Christ through Mary and this program. So they can be interacting with youth first through 12th grade. They can be a peer. They can be a leader. They can, form great leadership skills, giving them themselves. They form lifelong friendships with their teammates. We need 26 missionaries this year, 24. So we need 12 women and 12 men. And they, help promote the faith. And really, it's a great Catholic program. Totus Tuus is very Catholic, and they are sacramentally based with the Eucharist and Marian and catechetical instruction, so they can be learning a lot just in their own life.
So my understanding is, Nancy, that there is a week of training at the beginning, right? So that they won't be just thrown into a situation where they're just expected to know what to do.
That is correct. So we get some room at the University of St. Thomas. Once they check in for that training, Patrick, they're there with us for 4 weeks. So then we'll do the training on the University of St. Thomas campus. Then they go directly into their first parish with their teammates and serve for 3 weeks. Then they have a 1 week break at the 4th of July, and then they finish with an additional 3 weeks. And then at the end, we do a retreat for them. It's a beautiful program. They're learning a lot, growing in their faith, and we want them to be able to reflect on that.
Okay, so it's a week of training, 3 weeks of service in a parish, a week off for 4th of July, 3 more weeks of service in a different parish, is it, at that point?
Yeah, actually, it's every week is a different parish.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep. They arrive in a parish on a Saturday and stay at that parish for the whole week. They will live in a host with a host family, somebody who opens up their home for them. They don't need to switch every night. It's that same family for the whole week, so it's beautiful. They can do their wash there. They are just kind of incorporated into the family. They have breakfast there with the host family, and then they go to the parish, do the day of training or the day of totus tuus for the elementary age kids. They have a little break in the afternoon, and then they do a program in the evening for the junior senior high kids, and then go back to that host family home.
Hmm. Yeah, very good. It sounds fascinating. And how many students are sent to each parish? Is it the whole team that's sent to each parish, or are they divided up?
No, the whole team will go and put on this machine for the whole week, so four. So two women and two men are on each team. We will have 16 serving 36 parishes in our archdiocese this year. They will, go as their team. Once they're formed, the teams are picked on training week. They're together then the rest of the summer. And then they rotate different parishes each week. So they're getting to see new faces every week, new priests, new staff, and new children.
That's amazing. And so now I'm curious, how does a parish get to be one of these lucky parishes to get a totus tuus team sent to them?
Yeah, they have to register early. That starts in October, and it's usually done. We say cutoff is December 31st, but we're always full by the 1st of December. And this year, we actually have increased the team. So we used to have 5 teams. This year, we've got 6. We've got 4 parishes on the wait list. So it's really growing. Parishes want this program.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful program. And we need to have, we need more help and more missionaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, this is a good investment for these missionaries to make. I mean, it sounds like something that could be transformational, obviously, hopefully for the young people who they're going to be influencing, but also for them themselves as they are kind of striking out in a very missionary type of lifestyle. I mean, as they're serving each one of these parishes. But my understanding is they're not exactly left empty-handed, or not just reaping spiritual benefits from this either, right? So they're actually paid?
They are paid, yes. So we do pay them $2,520 as a stipend for the full summer. So that's for the 7 weeks. So they get paid for that week while they're on training, and then the 6 weeks while they're in parishes.
Wow.
And it's just like it's a archdiocesan employment opportunity for them. So it is through the archdiocese, and they will get paid just like I do and everybody else here every 2 weeks. And it goes directly into their checking or savings account. And yeah, it's a great opportunity to grow in your faith, but yet still get paid for something fun and working with children and enjoying what you're doing for the summer.
Yeah, now I'm forced to ask, do you have to be college age to be a totus tuus missionary?
Patrick, you have a job. yes, you do. The age is like 18 to 26. We might go, you'll push it to 27 if somebody's taking a gap year on their college, you know, but we do like to kind of stay within that college age range.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a busy day of evangelizing these students all day, and they're up and down, and they're working with the young kids, and they're, you know, mentally working with the older kids. It's taxing. It's a busy day for them. And so we do like to have them that age range.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm lamenting that I've aged out, but at the same time, it does sound a little bit exhausting to me.
Yes.
I'll be honest about that.
And,
yeah.
And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is an exhausting summer, but it's a great summer. Yeah. I mean, the feedback that I get from these young men and women that have served are like, it was the best summer of their lives. You know, they didn't think they had any more to give, but they gave more.
Yeah.
And the fruits are just amazing.
Yeah. Well, talk about that a bit more. So what have you heard from totus tuus missionaries, or what have you heard from receiving parishes about the effectiveness, the efficacy of totus tuus?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very, especially with you know, it's funny, everybody thinks that Totus Tuus is kind of for the elementary age kids, but really the Totus Tuus goal is to work with those junior and senior high school kids, getting them to think about, before they head off to college, where's the Lord calling me in my life? What vocation am I called to, you know, to have? Is it single life? Is it married life? Is it the priesthood, religious life? You know, and so it's these men and women that serve are also discerning that vocational call. And it's a great touch point for those high schoolers to really see people living their life discerning that. And so Totus Tuus really is more about those older kids, although they have a ton of fun with those young kids. And the parishes really see the fruits of it. They really, can see that there's lots that have entered in the seminary because of it. There's been some that have entered in religious life. So it's a great program for them to get thinking about that. Past missionaries have told me lots of things. Of course, they love seeing the families. They love meeting the priests in the different parish communities. One missionary said, "It's great. You get paid to eat good food and talk to kids about Jesus and, you know, pray with three others striving for sainthood. You know, it's a great life. A great opportunity for them. They grow in the love of the Lord and serve His children." One other missionary, I have to share this because I kind of looked back and just kind of reflecting, you know, and I was doing evaluations with my team members, and this one gal said, "The poverty on Totus Tuus showed me that it's only God, not anyone or anything else, who ultimately satisfies me and gives me great joy. Living a purposeful life of self-gift on Totus Tuus was a great blessing."
Yeah. Well, if it's anything like missionary experiences that I have had in the past, around my college age, to be sure, it transformed my life. I don't know what it did for the people around me who are receiving my missionary work, but it transformed my life, certainly, for the better. Well, Nancy, that sounds absolutely great. Just a couple of minutes remaining here, and a couple of quick questions here for you. So one, what would you say to somebody who's on the fence about applying?
Yeah, good question. I would just probably have to recap kind of what we talked about, Patrick, that Totus Tuus is a wonderful summer experience where lifelong friendships are really formed, all working for the greater good. It's a great experience to grow in virtue, trusting in the Lord and His plan, and giving you an opportunity to listen for His plan for your life and vocation. From a resume perspective, obviously it gives you leadership skills and teamwork and self-discipline and motivation, and probably will set them apart from other applicants for, applying for jobs. So it's a great all-around program for everyone.
Yeah, great. Okay, and now where the rubber meets the road, if somebody is interested in applying and learning more about it, where can they go?
You bet. I would say the Archdiocese website. They can go on the Archdiocese website and search Totus Tuus. There's a new teacher form, a returning teacher form. They could also reach out on their careers page or me, can reach out to me directly, or Father Bloom, who kind of helps with the program as well, the vocations director here at the Archdiocese. So any one of those ways, but I think the easiest would just be going to the Archdiocese, www.archstm.org/Totus Tuus.
Very nice. All right. Well, I hope that this this interview steers many, many applicants in your direction as you are looking for 24, you said, missionaries, 12 men and 12 women, yeah?
That is correct. And there are some videos on that Totus Tuus page. So if they're kind of on the fence, they can go and kind of see what it's all about. There's a video on kind of how it's run in the parish. And then there was a seminarian one year that did a video for me as well, just why you should serve. And so if they are curious, have them check that out.
All right, will do. Nancy Schulte Palachek, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic. God bless you, and God bless Totus Tuus.
Thank you, Patrick. Any prayers anybody would like to send our way, we'll welcome them.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
We will. You too. God bless.
Okay. Bye. Yep. God bless. Bye-bye.
And that website again, well, the one that we have here is careers.archspm.org/jobs, but I'm sure you can just go to archspm.org and search Totus Tuus, T TOTUSTUUS. All right. Time for our last break, but when we return, we'll be back with some additional local opportunities in this new year. You won't want to miss them. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Hey, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, you're looking for a new podcast in the new year? Remember, you can listen to and share any of our podcasted interviews on SoundCloud, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Just visit PracticingCatholicShow.com for all the links.
College-aged men and women, do you have a missionary heart? Feel called to share your Catholic faith, love children and youth? Totus Tuus is in need of team missionaries this summer. Being a Totus Tuus team missionary will change your life and the lives of young people around you. This is a paid commitment for June and July. It includes 1 week of training and a break for the 4th of July holiday. For more information and to apply, visit the careers page at the Archdiocesan website, careers.archsbm.org/jobs, or email totustuus@archsbm.org.
Looking for a faith-filled family winter outing? Go and see the Icon of the Conversion of St. Paul, commissioned to portray the meaning and spirit of our archdiocesan partnership with the Maronite Eparchy of Damascus. The Icon is on display now through January 18th at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. Then it will be permanently installed at the Cathedral of St. Paul after January 20th. Visit archspm.org/events to read more about it.
Heart to Heart is an online book study for victims, survivors of abuse. In her book, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead, Brené Brown argues that vulnerability is not weakness, but our most accurate measure of courage. This book study meets the first and third Wednesdays of the month, including January 19th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. over Zoom. Visit archspm.org/events for more information and to register.
Plan now to attend the annual Prayer Service for Life that commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Saturday, January 22nd at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral. More information is online at archspm.org/events.
Celebrate our Archdiocesan Patronal Feast by thanking God for the great gift He and Pope Francis have given to our Archdiocese. The Episcopal ordination of Bishop-elect Joseph Williams will be Tuesday, January 25th, Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, 1 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. The ordination is open to public attendance, but if you can't make it in person, it'll also be live streamed on the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Facebook page, carried live on Metro Cable Channel 6, and broadcast live right here on Relevant Radio 1330. Visit archspm.org/events for full details.
Archbishop Hebda invites women ages 16 to 35 who are discerning consecrated life to join him for dinner and conversation at this year's Miriam Dinner, Tuesday, February 1st, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. For more information, visit 10,000vocations.org.
Don't forget to follow Practicing Catholic on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Visit PracticingCatholicShow.com for links to our social media posts.
And coming up next time on Practicing Catholic, we learn how to defend the right to life with Jason Adkins and Emily Albrick from the Equal Rights Institute. Emily Moore of St. Mark's Parish shares about how they've been fostering a sense of community. And Chuck Sylvester and Greg Hughes are with us to what it means to be a man of God. That's all coming up next time. Thanks for listening this time. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.